You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we have with us church planner Chad Kivett. He is working on starting his third church in Sevierville, Tennessee. And so it's a pleasure to have you with us here today, Pastor Chad.
Dr. Moody, it's great to be here. I'm always excited to talk about church planting and reaching people, getting involved in the community. It's something that I really, my heart just beats that way. Even when I drive through a town I've never been through, I'm looking for buildings that we might could put a church in. It's kind of weird. It's a privilege to be here. Talk to you today.
Well, it is clear that the Lord has gifted you in this way, that a special skill set, if you will, because what kind of guy rides through towns like, hey, you could start a church right there? You know, there are some, but you're uniquely gifted, I believe, in this area, my friend.
I appreciate it. I don't know how much of it's giftedness as much as I just tried to work on it. I hear people say that all the time, and I'm thinking, is it really a gift or is it a command? Is it something I've just taken that God has commanded us and tried to sharpen my skills in that? But it is a passion. I think it starts, you know, when you're younger too. Like my dad taught me as he went out door to door, knocking on doors, and the passion they had for their family to be saved. My uncles that were out of church. So as a kid, you hear your mom, dad praying about lost people. And honestly, my local church at the time, I remember Wednesday night prayer meetings, people would call out people's names that's lost. And as a kid, you kind of get wrapped up in it. This is real. Like the people in the church are real. People are going to go to hell if we don't do something about it. And so I kind of bought in and tried to sharpen my skills on it. And through different evangelism classes that you take, you kind of got to find what fits you. Yeah. So I don't know if I do think there's something different about me than a lot of people. I get that a lot. People say, you're just different. But I don't know if that's a compliment or if it's a criticism. Like, you're different. I get it. I know.
I fear a lot of people on social media now are making comments about that, about, yes, Chad is very different, but different in a good way and different in a way that I think all of us can learn from, because there's a lot of people writing about this now that all of our churches are mission churches. We live in more in a post-Christian America or North America, even Canada, if you think of. So I think what you're doing is something that all of our churches can really learn from. So let me start by asking you, how in the world is it that you get people really starting churches from scratch? How do you get people to come to church? And I'm wondering, are some of the things you're doing the same things that all of us can do?
I definitely think what I do, anybody can do, because I'm not anything special. Back years ago when I was in evangelism class in college, one of the things they taught us was look for some similarities you may have with people that you see, that you come in contact with. Well, when you pray in the morning, you ask God to open up doors of opportunity for you to be a witness. And then you go through the grocery store and you see someone with a t-shirt on that has your favorite sports team. Well, you have something there in common. And once you learn to sharpen those skills, even though you may be an Alabama fan, you can say, go Vols. And it opens up a conversation. So, I love to deer hunt. And if someone has on camouflage, I can talk about deer hunting. So it opens up a conversation where people want to talk to you and it makes them feel comfortable. And they don't even know I'm a preacher yet. And then when I actually tell them I'm a preacher, they're like, I'd have never guessed that.
Yes.
You know, most preachers they have a preacher air that we have to get away from, so people will feel comfortable talking to us. So one of the things I really try to do is just connect with people outside the church. And when I actually transition the conversation to the Lord, it may be, matter of fact, we have a couple in our church now that's been here for about a month. I met her in the grocery store. She had an Alabama shirt on and I said, Roll Tide. And we started talking. The conversation just took off. And I knew I needed to transition somehow. Yes. And I was thinking, how in the world am I going to do this? And she had a cross necklace on.
Ooh.
And I said, hey, I noticed you're wearing a cross. What does that mean to you? Because you never know nowadays.
Right.
And she began to talk about, well, my dad was a preacher and used to be really involved in church, hadn't been in church in about 40 years, got hurt in church because of her dad. And she said, right now, my husband, I moved here. We don't have any friends or family. And I said, well, you know, we've named our church 24/7 because I believe we ought to live life together. And it, not just on Sundays, but we would be the church to you and your husband all the time. Yeah. And they started coming, and she said the first week, we're going to give you a week, and then we're going to give you a month. And the other night she said, hey, we're all in. We're going to give you a year this time. So they're giving me a year. They started tithing. They got us the online giving set up already. I saw that the other day. But it started because of Alabama Shirt. The other night she gave a testimony about how grateful she is that I stopped her in the aisle of the grocery store. So, you know, a lot of us just connect with people like that. I used to meet a lot of people at Walmart, and I'd say Walmart is the saving place. It's where you go to meet people.
Yeah.
So you really just got to get out of your comfort zone and realize when you go to the grocery store, you're not there to buy groceries.
Right.
You're at the gas station, you're not in the gas station to get gas. Look for the longer lines so you can talk to more people. Mm-hmm. Look for the similarities, how you can connect with people. Because our life is really about connecting people to Christ, connecting them to the church. Yes. And if we can be a bridge that would connect people, it makes it simpler to me if I keep it simple. So I'm a bridge builder from people to Christ. And, you know, you open yourself up to a lot of different people and strange things, but it's what you got to do.
That's good. And so we are ambassadors everywhere we go. We represent Jesus. And so you're saying, think about what you're doing, grocery store, gas station, Walmart, look for opportunities to interact with people. And you're seeing, and your people are seeing, people come to the Lord as a result of that, come to church, but we can't be rushing in, rushing out, and we can't be irritated at the lady, you know, working the cash register or anything like that. We've got to
It's an opportunity. Yeah, it's an opportunity for you to talk to people longer about, and God's given us those opportunities. And I think sometimes we do get frustrated in the rat race of life that we fail to realize God is slowing us down so we can present the gospel to people. And here's what I learned. I was out of town this past couple of days. I was out of town Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I went into a Dollar General, and the cashier talked my ears off. Mm-hmm. And the guys waiting for me in the truck wanted to know all I went into buy ice. And the conversation just kept going. I went to Walmart, and the kid in there, the first thing he said to me was, I walked up to pay for, I don't remember what I bought, like cookies or something. And he said, I just have drank a lot of caffeine. I said, oh, really? And he wanted to tell me his story why he was drinking a lot of caffeine. And it was his first job he's ever had. He said he just got out of high school and he's got a new job. And he wanted to talk my ears off. And people do want to talk, and they do want to get connected to people. The problem is not the lost people. The problem is the church. We don't have time anymore to listen to people and let them tell their story. And people really do like you more when you listen.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. So, as an individual, I'm thinking about what I'm doing. I'm careful in my environment, trying to reach people. Now, you guys do some things as a church too. I think you had the football team there not all that long ago. What are things as a church community that we can do to reach out to get people in and visit with us a bit?
Yeah. So since we've been here, we've been looking for areas and ways that we can just connect with our community, build a bridge to our community, to the church, and to the Lord. And Marcus Stevens, my associate missionary, he has a young son that plays football. So we invited the football team here one Sunday, and we had 41 first-time guests. And that was 3 weeks ago. And we've had one of those families back every Sunday since then. I think we've had two families back every Sunday. But we gave them gifts. We invited them, gave them gifts. And the unique thing about that is, one of the high school coaches for the high school basketball team went and asked, could we do that for their team? Could we recognize them? So they're asking us now, can we do that? December the 18th, we're having Northview High School Band do a concert at our church. So a lot of those kids do not go to church. Their families do not go to church. But since we've invited them, they've accepted, and they're going to be here. And I can look out the windows here and see the school from our church. And the sad thing is, a lot of these kids are going to die and go to hell having seen our steeple and seen our church, but never darken the doors. So, you know, having events like that, we had a big Father's Day event, and it was fantastic too. I did barbecue, bluegrass, the Bible, and bounce houses. So when you advertise free barbecue dinner, bluegrass music, we also did mailers. Mm-hmm. We mailed out 5,000 mailers for that event. And we're actually doing a mailer for December. We're going to put our whole December schedule on a postcard. The front of the postcard just have Merry Christmas from 24/7 Church. And it'll go to 5,000 homes, right? The closest 5,000 homes to our church, the mailer will go to. And on the back, we'll have our December schedule for Christmas. And we're in Christmas, we're going to do, the kids will do a Christmas cantata, that kind of thing. Then we're doing Ugly Christmas Sweater Week. And that night, we're doing a Christmas party at the church, and everybody will be invited to that. We're having the band on the 18th, Northview Band concert. And then the 25th, we'll do Christmas communion because it'll be Christmas morning. And rather than just cancel it, we'll come here for 30 minutes, do communion. I'll talk to them a little bit, read the Christmas story, have a time together as a church family. But the idea is just giving them opportunities to come to church so they can look at it and see. And then once they come, like the ones that came for the Bluegrass Barbecue, you're talking about overwhelmed with visitors. I mean, right now I'm sitting in the foyer of the church and I'm looking where we have little gift bags and I didn't set this up. Yeah. I promise I didn't, because you know, I was going to be in there auditorium, but that's when I came out here, when you do have the visitors, you want to make sure you give them something that's of value, that they'll be like, wow, these folks went all out for me. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a better way to spend money than on people that's already made the trip to the church. Yes. I can spend it on other things, and we do on outreach stuff, and I think you need to. But once they get here that first time, I want to give them something good, and I want to give them something of value, not something they're going to look and say, okay, and they put it in their dash in the car. I want to give them something they'll use that they think is of value, and it shows that I really do care about them. I'm not just saying, you know, come back, here's a pen. Yeah. Whatever. We got pens in here, but I'm just saying.
It's not just a pen.
No, it's not just a pen. We have other things that we want to give out. So the different events, like in February, it's still going to be cold up here.
Yeah.
I thought, man, it'd be kind of cool if we did a 50 Sunday. And so we'll advertise 50 Sundays where you can wear your leather jackets, and the ladies will do poodle skirts. Last week, we had old-fashioned Sunday. And I wish I could send you pictures of where our ladies went online and ordered the bonnets, and it looked like Little House on a Prairie. And they loved dressing up. I mean, I didn't think they would. And everybody doesn't. You know, everybody didn't dress up, but a lot of our ladies dressed up and they got together like, hey, let's do this, whatever. And the guys wore their overalls and the old hats and stuff. And people are coming in and showing me their pocket watches that their grandpa had. And it created conversation for people in the church to talk to each other. And we took pictures, and it was just a lot of fun. And here's what I think about having big days. It's almost like when we had revival years ago, the church got excited about what God was going to do. So these big days gets our church, it's almost like a mini revival. We get excited about what we know God's going to do. And we invite. We have a big day. We plan. The folks participate. They put forth effort. Because if you have 40 people putting forth the effort as opposed to two or three, because preachers wire ourselves out. We're like, oh, what can I do? I can't do it. And then you can do it. But if you get your people motivated and excited, and they invest and they make pies that they know people are going to take. On our old fashioned day, some of the ladies in the church, they wanted me to taste their cake. And so I was going down. I gained like 3 pounds last Sunday. But they want to invest, and they want to know that they have a part in the investment as a church. So they take ownership. Yeah. And the worst thing about church is when people just attend and they leave and it's not their church. But right. If you have big Sundays and it creates excitement, and they invest their money and effort and you know, food, whatever it may be, it creates almost a revival atmosphere, because folks are excited when they get here. And they're praying, too, because I've prepared them to know that when people come in, they could be lost and they might need to be saved. So, I mean, if they're lost, they will need to be saved, but they might be saved that day. So we really pray, and we know when we come in that we've got to build a bridge to them. So those are just a few things that we do, and it really works for us. The other thing is we tried a Western Sunday, and we had no visitors or anything show up that day. So you have to be prepared to fail.
Yeah.
And find out what works. It does happen. I mean, and you can't stop. I try to tell people, if God leads us to do it, we may not see any results. He might be teaching us through what we felt led to do. We're so result-minded now. We think we have to see the results. But it may not be about that. It may be God preparing us for the next one to make it even better. and learn through the process. So we don't look at things that we fail, like the Western day we did that didn't work. We just learned from that and did the next thing better because we knew that was eventually help us and work out. So the other thing we're doing outreach wise, we just ordered 60 something t-shirts to give out to our intermediate school up here. Mm-hmm. And on the back they're I think they're the Cougars. Uh-huh. So we got a cougar claw that's going to be on the back of the shirt. It's going to have the church name just in the center of the cougar claw. But on the front, it's going to have the Northview Intermediate. That's costing us about $1,500.
Yeah.
But man, what a way to invest in teachers, and then they can wear those shirts every day. And it's a great way to advertise for us too. But we're just trying to pour into people and love people. And we want people to have a different idea of the church, that it's not what we're going to get from them, but how can we give back to you as a community? Because, you know, churches, I've been told this week there's a church in town that they want to see your W-2 and they expect you to give according to that. And I don't know how they do that, but I'm going to try to learn from it. I'm not going to do that, but you know, just
I don't know. Somehow that doesn't ever work for us, you know.
It doesn't, yeah.
How so, these guys do this crazy. Well, we'll just let it be.
Yeah.
But the short of it is, buddy, you're doing a lot of things. And what I'm also sensing is it's good for the people. In other words, they're getting excited. They're cooking pies. They're doing this. And then it works, you know, however we think of working, you know, but we're doing something. We're trying to reach folks. You got into this a little bit with your bag, that you're giving to folks, first time folks. So you don't just have things where people come and that's the end of it, though. You're really trying to get tied into them. And so that's something that sometimes where you're like, hey, we just did a fall festival or we did the vacation Bible school. How can we keep following up with them? Some of the things, I think it starts with like the bag, that little investment that you've made.
Right.
But you guys seem to be pretty skilled at doing that as well.
Let me tell you the best thing that I think has helped us. We do our best to invite visitors out to eat. So if we have a lunch, like this past week, I had an elderly couple. I say elderly. They were probably our age. No, they were probably in their 70s.
Okay. Okay. Good.
I had not had an opportunity to invite them to lunch.
Yes.
Of course, that week we had lunch, but I had opportunity to talk to them. I said, is there any way my wife and I could take you two to lunch? They were like, absolutely. We would love that. And we also have some other activities. One of them is guess who's coming to dinner, that we invite people into our home. Uh-huh. And they don't know where they're going because we have different people in the church that's designed to where they won't know where they're going. But they love coming to our houses. They love eating. And they love when the preacher takes them out to eat. And I can't always do it. But if I can't, I'll tell other couples, hey, can you take them to eat and then let me have the receipt afterwards? And the church will reimburse them because, again, it's investing in people that have visited the church, and we want to show them that we love them and that we want to invest in them and their future in our church. So people really love it when we take them out to eat. And we you know, an expensive place like McDonald's or somewhere. But they like that and connecting with it. And then when they see the activities we do,
yeah,
come back to those things. Church is not the country club kind of thing, but people are looking for relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get it. This is going to sound horrible, so you may want to edit this out. They don't get that sitting an hour in a pew.
Yeah.
And when everybody leaves, they jet, and they're still trying to connect with people. So we design our calendar to where we have fellowships and outreach for people, not just dinner with me or lunch with me, but activities where they can come back to the church and they can play and they can do things where they can get to know the people in the church better. And they really want to know people and they want to share their story. They have a story. And I think it's sad to say, but I think we belittle other people's stories if it's not as important as somebody else. But everybody has a story and they want to tell it.
Yeah,
I think it's very important that we spend time with them and let them know they are important and connect with them best we can.
Excellent. So you're trying to do it as much as you can as the pastor, but sometimes you can't. So you're trying to train your people. Look, you see someone. I like the way you said it. Is there any way we could take you? You know, oh, of course. You know, almost like, oh, we're trying to, you know, we're ready for them to say, oh, well, I've got to do this or do that. No, no, of course I'd go eat with you. And then having time for fellowship where they're getting to know other people within the church. And once, sounds like once you get them tied into a relationship, you've kind of got them, don't you?
You really do, because they love you. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying we don't lose people. We've lost people for sure. But
as we all do.
And them coming to your home too, when you open up your doors of your home and yeah. people come to the pastor's house, people don't do that anymore. Yeah. Especially after COVID, nobody really wants anybody to come in. But Paul and I have opened up our doors, and I don't know if I told you the story, and I don't know if the listeners would want to hear this, but we had one Sunday, I just felt to invite everybody to the church. It's while we were in Clarksville at the 180 church. Mm-hmm. And that Sunday we'd gotten up to about 300, and I invited everybody in the church to come to my house that night. All 300. We had 108 show up.
Wow.
At my house. And it was the best thing ever because God led me to do it. My wife supported it and the church got around it. And we had more food than we could eat. And it was that morning and we had it that night. But when God says do something, you don't look for permission from the leadership of the church and all that stuff. You just do it and let let the ball bounce wherever it may. But yeah. that night I looked around my yard and I saw groups of people praying for each other. Mm-hmm. I walked around the front and the people on my front porch praying together. That was spontaneous. It wasn't like I asked them, hey, you go get this group and you go pray and you go pray with this group. It's what people wanted to do and they did it. And it was fantastic. I'm telling you, the problem was we had some folks show up about 2 o'clock to help us set up, and they didn't leave till about 10 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. You know that Sunday afternoon nap you want to get?
Yes, and it didn't happen. And
it meant a lot to our church people.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Good stuff, Chad. So I think if I've kind of sum it up a little bit, it's all about people. And so that comes to the beginning, even when I'm in the grocery store, or the post office, or Walmart. I'm looking around. I'm trying to love on people. I'm trying to figure out what I've got in common with them. We're having activities. We're generating some excitement, the different days that you guys have had, and we're giving them a nice gift. I notice also you've got good coffee shop right there behind you with pretty good acronym there as well. So yep. We're trying to give things to them, trying to take them to lunch, trying to invite them over for dinner and our homes and so forth, and all about relationships that they stick yep. and get to know us, but more importantly, get to know our Savior, come to know Him and grow in Him. That's good stuff, my brother.
Yeah, it's got to start where we're really troubled about lost people, though. When you talk yeah. about people coming to the Lord, it's not about the fellowship and it's not about the bridges. It's about Jesus. And if we can realize if we don't tell them, who's going to tell them?
Yes, good. Yeah,
I mean, that's the truth. You got to look at all of our churches are just within 10 miles of here. And I had people ask me, like, why would you start a church where there's already a bunch of churches? You could start a church in any town in America and there'd be a need for it because most churches are not making an effort to reach lost people. Mm-hmm. They are looking for people that's good for their church. Mm-hmm. And I know you've heard it. Oh, we need that family. They'd be good for our church. We need to get people that the church would be good for them.
Absolutely.
And focus, what are we looking at for a church? And once you realize we can be a blessing to those people, they will in turn be a blessing to you. It's like visiting the nursing home. Yeah. I used to hate going. I still don't like going, but yeah. it's such a blessing when I go.
Absolutely.
Those people are a blessing to me. And it's the same way in church. You got to look at the ones that you probably don't, the undesirables. Undesirable to the Lord.
Yeah.
And drug addicts.
But they become a blessing to you and everyone
Absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely, they do.
That's good.
You just can't underestimate what God can do in the life of a person when you put Him in their life. That's They're good. A different person.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well, good job, brother. Thank you for taking the time to share with us today. I think you've given us a lot of things to think about, pray about, and get busy doing. And we just appreciate what you're doing there in Sevierville. Want to encourage our listeners, if you're in the Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge area, stop by on Sunday. Check out the 24/7 church. I almost said 180.
Yeah, I know. I do it all the time.
and it's a good way to kind of see what's happening and to thank the Lord to be a blessing. Thank you for joining us today, my friend.
Dr. Moody, my privilege. I honestly would do this every day if you need me to.
Oh, you're the man.
It's an honor. No kidding. I've been excited about it. Just getting to sit down with you and talk. And I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you. And hey, we appreciate all of you all who've listened in today. We encourage you to take this podcast, share it with someone that would benefit from it. Remember, every little thing we do, it helps. It makes a difference. And we truly are better when we work together. We're better together. Thank you for joining us today.